Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I've got Swayed at the Network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. What a lineup I've got today. Let's see, Blake Harbin's going to be here. He's going to be talking about Biden's headlong quest to trigger hyperinflation. He's the CEO of Housel Financial. Judd Garrett will be along talking about his latest on Real Clear Politics, Benevolent Dictator. And then in the second hour, writer for the New American, Selwyn Duke, with his latest, anyone who would cancel George Washington is an enemy within. Wow. Great lineup. You know, the Wall Street Journal just reported that retail sales grew by 3.8% in January as inflation surged to a 40-year high of 7.5%, citing a February 16th Commerce Department report. My guest is monetary expert Blake Harbin. He's CEO of Housel Financial, and he's joining us to provide more details. First off, welcome, Blake. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you, Chuck?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, the government is telling us the inflation rate right now is 7.5%, okay? And they admitted that it's the worst inflation in 40 years. For you, sir, should we believe them?
Yes and no. Yes, we should believe the Commerce Department when they say that the inflation rate is the highest since 1982. But no, we shouldn't believe the inflation is merely 7.5% at all.
Why is that?
Because, I mean, those are just political numbers. Real-world inflation, you know, it's already in double digits because, basically the government underreports those things. They like to leave out little things, you know, like gas and groceries, the very things we need to buy. You know, as that keeps coming in, I don't know if you've noticed it, but like right now, you know, it's putting the food on the table and, you know, I guess bringing the proverbial bacon home. You know, well, that literal bacon is now going to cost you 18.6% more.
So it's sort of like a little indicator meter for the people at home, right?
Exactly.
Checking out the gas and the groceries and things like that.
Right. And originally, when they had come out, they had said, "Oh, well, you know, it's just transitory. It's not going to be here that long, and it's only $175 a month. This is what the average American's paying." Well, now we're approaching $300 a month, and then we're still going to continue to have energy prices rising as well. So, we've got the oil starting to exceed $100 a barrel.
Wow.
So, you know, that's just going to continue to drive up, and it's going to already just add on to what the, you know, Americans are already facing now. So,
well, we didn't have that $100 a barrel whenever the other guy was president, did we?
No, we didn't at all.
No, not at all.
We were energy independent back then. And then we're building an additional pipeline, bringing in jobs, having a thriving economy. And we were not. And the great part about it is although yes, we were still not right on track where we need to be as far as the spending money goes. The deficits were by far greatly less than they are now. I mean, we just surpassed $30 trillion the other day.
Gee. You know, and explain to the listener, okay, about, you know, the old expression, I guess it's bringing the bacon home. That kind of gives you an indication of what's going on, right?
Yeah, it absolutely. I mean, think about this. You go buy some bacon that used to cost you $4 is now costing you $6 to $7. And it's such a small little item. Okay, yeah, I get it. It's $3 more, but it's not just that. It's everything that goes along with it. I was in the grocery store the other day, and chicken breast were two for $10. Not 2 pounds, but two for $10 of chicken breast.
Wow. You know, I guess the only ones making out are the pigs, right? Actually. And I'm talking about the animal, of course. Yes, okay.
I wasn't quite sure. There's many ways to go.
Yeah, I know. the obvious question, and you're the expert, when should we expect to see the interest rates increase in 2022, and what do you say by how much?
So, you know, from my perspective, you know, the consumer interest rates have already risen. I mean, we are now quoting rates well into the fours, where just in January, you know, you could still get something into the high twos, low threes. So we're expecting at least 0.5% by the end of March, and now they're speculating that they may go up as much as 2% by the end of July. And this is, I mean, will it slow down inflation? Sure, it'll slow down inflation, but it's also going to completely rip apart our markets and just decimate them. The problem is they're trying to rip a Band-Aid off, and that's not how you deal with this particular situation.
Well, in your report, you're saying the Federal Reserve knows all about this, and it knows that the increased rates are counterproductive to economic growth, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. They absolutely know. I don't know why they think that they needed to bring in a wrecking ball when, you know, when they came into office. I'm like, hey, you take a look at it. They're like, well, you know, this economy's doing really great. Americans are really happy, and they're making great money, and inflation is low. Let's destroy this. This is, I mean, you almost got to wonder, did China actually elect the president? I mean, I'm just curious. I'm not sure there.
Blake, let me ask you this. What's the highest the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates in the past?
Let me think about that. I'm trying to. I mean, look, like back in '79, we had. I want to say it was almost like 20%.
Right. Yeah. I think it was 20% 1980. So yeah, you're right on that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that inflation rate was the end of Jimmy Carter's term, and. You know, unfortunately, we have the new and improved version in the wrong direction of Jimmy Carter 2.0. We generally refer to him as Sleepy Joe.
True. You also say
we should go back to sleep, though.
Yeah. You also say that after Jimmy, that's when Ronald Reagan came around. So, and he also turned things around. With the likely incredible rising interest rates, okay, could we see a recession in the near future?
I absolutely believe we are, based on our current trajectory, we are going to have a serious recession. And this is, you know, the sad part about this is where we talk about, you know, elections have consequences. And until we can, you know, get the right people in there, which is, you know, a big part of why I'm running for Congress, until we can get those people, the right people in there that actually want to represent the people and turn the country around, we're in for some real tough times, you know. And that's why, you know, when you compare it, you know, to Jimmy Carter and whatnot and Ronald Reagan, you know, Ronald Reagan was able to avoid a huge recession.
And then you talk about the supply market and you compare it to the truckers' strike going on in Canada and hopefully coming down here now and getting underway. Wow, things are, you know, a little out of control, right?
A little out of control is unfortunately an understatement. Right. You know, we even had one of our guys the other day had to go run up to New York. He was flying across, and he's like, it was just amazing the vast amount of cargo ships that were just off the coast, just sitting there, sitting there.
Same way out here, you know, in the L.A. Harbor and Long Beach, just unbelievable. Well, let me get down to this, Blake. You are a real estate expert. You own a mortgage company. How will inflation and rising interest rates impact the real estate industry?
Well, the problem is this. With the interest rates rising and with the markets already, you know, it's a total seller's market wherever you go, so those prices keep increasing. And it's because, we have this whole supply and demand thing where it's going to continue to make prices go higher, which is going to when interest rates going up, I mean, you can almost figure roughly 1%, a 1% interest rate increase will reduce your buying power by as much as, $100,000 plus. And with those rising prices, I think less Americans are going to be moving, but then they're even stuck, you know, if they're renting, because the rental prices keep going up. You know, it's a catch-22, and which makes it a never-ending cycle, you know, for Americans. It's like that. I know that Biden and his Democrats believe the American dream is dead, and I think they're trying to kill it, or to make sure it stays that way, so to speak. But we're not going to allow that. We are not going to let them destroy the American dream, because home ownership is and always has been part of the American dream. No matter where you come from, you know, you can own a piece of this world.
Mm-hmm. Well, put you on the spot. How can the Biden administration and Congress prevent America's further economic decline, if there's any way?
Well, okay, so you are gonna have to raise interest rates, but you need to do it at a slower rate. Then the next thing that you have to do is stop freaking spending so much dead gum money. Cut and start living within your means. I mean, look, you know, all of us are taught this, you know, from childhood, but they don't seem to understand that the amount of money that they're spending, what it does to the market. And it's, you know, I say they don't seem to understand, but they do. It's a power grab. But how we curtail that is stop the spending, get the supply chains moving, stop with the asinine mandates, and let people choose for themselves. So, you know, that's where a lot of the protests are going to stop, and those can get moving as well, and unload the dead gum cargo ships.
All right. Now then, I want to make sure I get this in. You mentioned a minute ago about running, and I've heard that you've tossed your hat in the ring to run for Congress. Georgia's 6th congressional district in Atlanta. Was your decision based on any of these things we're talking about, I say?
Absolutely. And I mean, but then you add to that our wide open border problem.
Yeah,
and I mean, what that brings with it. Think about this: the number one cause of death of people right now between the ages of 18 and 45 is fentanyl, and fentanyl's coming in straight across our borders. So it's not COVID, it's not cancer, it's not some foreign disease you've never heard of. It's fentanyl, plain and simple. And it's killing us, along with, you know, with the borders being wide open. There's so much tied to that, with like the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, and the gangs. You know, obviously them completely destroying the current administration, completely destroying our quality of life.
All right.
You know, when it used to be much cheaper.
Right. I want you to make sure you get out your campaign way to reach you. It's Blake Harbin, is that right? HARBINBLAKE, harbin.com. You're also on Twitter at Blake Harbin GA. Would that be like Georgia?
Yep, exactly. Blake Harbin GA.
Yeah.
And then BlakeHarbin.com, BLAKEHARB as in boy, IN.com. You can go to our website. You can learn a lot about me and on both my background and the solutions and the issues that are out there. And, you know, if you like it, support us and make a donation.
Well, you're on top of your game. BlakeHarbin.com. You got that? All right. Hey, I appreciate the visit today, and good luck.
Thank you so much, Chuck. I appreciate you having me.
Okay, Blake Harbin, HARBIN.com. Be right back with Judd Garrett.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Do you remember Herbert W. Armstrong? Do you remember his magazine, The Plain Truth? His television program, The World Tomorrow? The one and only possible message of world peace?
Now we're living in the most serious, the most momentous times of the history of this world.
Those who heard Herbert W. Armstrong speak remember the depth of thought, the clarity of expression, and the power of his message. He spoke for God. God warned this world through Herbert W. Armstrong, and he gave hope to this dying world through Herbert Armstrong. What happened to that ministry? What happened to that message? We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder here. Want to go to my guest right now, Judd Garrett. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, the Dolphins, the Rams, and the Cowboys. And then he served another 12 years as personal executive with the Cowboys. Judd has written 2 screenplays. He's a frequent contributor to the topics of sports and politics, to Real Clear Politics. And No Wind is his first published novel. Judd is married, father of 6 children. And his website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Welcome back, Judd. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Pretty good. Boy, we hit it right on the head there, ladies and gentlemen, all of you listeners out there. We told you whichever team scored the most in the Super Bowl was going to be the winner, and we were right on, Judd. Congratulations.
That's absolutely right.
happens quite frequently. Yeah. Hey, let's get into the benevolent dictator. Interesting one that Judd just posted. He said the new woke term is equality. Or is it equity? Yeah, equity. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's equity, which is a term which sounds like equality, but as Wilder would confess, it is exactly the opposite in meaning, right?
Yeah, I mean, equality is about equal rights and equal opportunity. and sometimes because people have different abilities and different work ethics, that you end up producing unequal results. And equity is the exact opposite. It's about unequal rights and unequal opportunity with the goal to produce equal results. And so they're complete opposite in meanings, but it sounds alike to get people to think that they're talking about equality, but really they're talking about the exact opposite of equality.
Yeah, so unequal opportunity, unequal protection under the law, because, as you say in this report, everyone has different abilities, different intelligence, different needs, different worth ethics. And the people who believe in equity also believe that the ends justify the means. Boy, where have I heard that?
Yeah, well, that's what the liberals believe right now. They believe that the ends justify the means, so they'll do whatever they have to do to get the ends that they want, which is this equity. So they'll take certain rights from people, they'll take opportunities from certain people and give it to other people in order to get the equity that they're looking for, even though they don't care that, you know, they're stripping American citizens of their constitutional rights while doing it.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, you know, this is exactly what's going on with COVID. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, yes, but, you know, the means justify, yes, the absolutely, no problem. The end justifies the means, right? Stripping certain people of their basic rights. Another good example of this is, of course, with all the rioting. They had the same reasoning on that, too, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they believe, the left believed in the cause of the BLM and Antifa riots that basically tore many of our major cities apart in 2020. So they supported all that, even though they're burning down buildings and injuring cops, and they even killed, you know, a number of people. The left supported all that because they supported the aims and the goals of the people who were rioting, which is exact opposite of what happened on January 6th, in which they disagreed with the goals of the people who were rioting, even though that riot was a one-time thing and much less severe than what we saw, you know, in our cities in 2020. Now they're against rioting. So they go back and forth based on the final aims of who's doing it.
You know, and I think one of the biggest no-nos they're doing, and sometimes it's going to soak into you probably a lot later on for the listeners, and you never realize it's sneaking up on you, is all this censorship of political speech and how they're controlling the dialogue probably more than ever in the history of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, big tech and the social media companies, you know, they're all left-wing people, and they're aligned with the Democratic Party, and you see it time and again, you know, how they're censoring, you know, the political speech out there. We saw that with the Hunter Biden issue, when his laptop came, you know, surfaced, and all that information was coming out. You know,
got to hide that before the election, right? I'll let you continue on that when we come back, and you know, wide open borders. I mean, boy, it is like they're stacking the deck, you might say that. Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, his website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Jennifer Lopez plays a pop superstar who, in the midst of an internationally televised concert, impulsively decides to marry on stage a complete stranger from the audience in the new romantic comedy, Marry Me, now streaming on Peacock.
I don't even know her.
We both did this.
We have to embrace the spontaneity of the moment. I don't want to be the punchline.
Well, there is some laughter here and also some smiles, because despite the silly nature of the plot premise, the characters are endearing and it's fun to watch their relationship unfold. J-Lo is surprisingly strong, showing some of the difficulties of being trapped in your own celebrity. And Owen Wilson is incurably likable as a divorced single dad math teacher woefully out of place with the New York glamorati. Rated PG-13 and also featuring Sarah Silverman in an amusing supporting role. 2.5 stars for the occasionally touching Marry Me.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills, going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Hi, everybody. This is Michael Horn from What's Cooking Today. Join me Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, for the great information we give you with food, wine, travel, health, wealth, and entertainment. We call the program What's Cooking Today, and it's really a one-hour show you need to know all about things that'll be important for you for that day in your life. So if you like food, wine, travel, health, wealth, and entertainment, tune in to me, Michael Horn, What's Cooking Today on CRN.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with the one and only Judd Garrett, author of No Wind. The website objectivityistheobjective.com, discussing the benevolent dictator, question mark. You know, and like we were touching on, all the illegal aliens, the open border, you know, the drug smugglers, MS-13 gang members, and criminals helping the other side, yes, to produce the 2022 election results that they want, even though they just keep on saying, go ahead and destroy the country, we don't care about it. Is this their entire mindset there? Just go ahead, full speed ahead, Judd?
Exactly. I mean, it's along the same lines. It's the ends justify the means. No one in their right mind can believe that illegal immigration is a good thing. Just blatantly open your borders to all these people who are coming in, even if it means bringing in bad people. No one believes that that's the right thing to do, but the Democrats understand that that process helps them in elections. That process helps bring in people, if they eventually get the right to vote, will vote for them. So they're all for it, even though they know that what they're doing is really bad for the country.
Yeah, and you know, people are saying, what is this with the criminal system? You know, like, well, you know, you ran over somebody or you shot somebody, but it, you know, you're not really a bad person. We're going to let you out with hardly any bail or at all. It's sort of like, you know, I'm going to give you an ice cream cone if you make sure you vote for me. Am I close there?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the example is, you know, the BLM organizer who walked in and tried to assassinate the mayor candidate, I think in Kentucky, and you know, he's free the next day on $100,000 bail, and we got guys who trespassed at the Capitol over a year ago, and they've been sitting in solitary confinement, and no bail has been set for them. So, but everyone's so concerned about there's a disparity between, you know, in the prisons between the blacks and the whites, so they have to reduce how many black people are in prison and increase how many white people are in prison. So they're going to end up sentencing people differently based on their race to achieve that equitable result that they're looking for.
Not their character, but the color of their skin. You know, and out here, Judd Newsom, you know, finally got around to getting now to put in play, I guess you would say, something that he dreamed up about a year and a half ago. But basically what it is, they're letting criminals out of detention where they're being held because they're murderers, they kill somebody, and now they're going to put them back just into cells with the normal prisoners. I think they're asking for a lot of trouble on that because, you know, if you're actually a murderer compared to an auto theft person, you know, I think there is a difference. That's just my opinion. But amazing how they always want to, you know, mess around with what's been working for a long time. If you got a killer, keep him out of the public, you know?
Yeah, but what they're doing is they're looking at the results. They want to reduce the number of people in prison. So instead of maybe bulking up the amount of police that are on the streets so people commit less crimes, they're reducing the number of police on the streets, allowing people to commit as many crimes as they want, and just letting them out, even, you know, or not even arresting them, when they commit the crimes. So then they look at it and say, well, our prison numbers are going down. That's true, but crime is going up. There are more victims, and the country's falling apart.
Yep, and, you know, we sort of have a in-motion description right now, listener. You know, if you really want to find out what's going on, a good example. Judd says in 2013, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau showed that he believes that the ends do justify the means, right? When he was asked what country outside of Canada he admires the most, tell him what his answer was. I wonder if they could even come close to guessing. And it wasn't America, was it?
he said he has an admiration for China because their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and saying we need to go greenest, fastest. We need to start, you know, investing in solar. There's a flexibility that I know Stephen Harper, who was the former prime minister, must dream about having a dictatorship that he can do everything he wanted. So Justin Trudeau wants to be a dictator. He wants to be, and I think he sees himself as the benevolent dictator, that he gets to call all the shots and dictate everything, but he'll be a really good and nice dictator. But there's no such thing as a benevolent dictator. There never has been an example of a dictator who didn't allow the power to get to him and destroy people.
You know, the closest I've come to a benevolent dictator is the title of this excellent report that came out. Benevolent Dictator Judd Gehring. Yes. How about that for a plug? Objectivity is the objective.com. Perfect title there. It surprised me that a person, I mean, had he been drinking when he came out with that statement? Because, boy, that's really putting a lot of stuff on the table there that if you want to, you know, fool some of the people some of the time or all the time, that's not the way to do it, not with that statement coming right out with that. That's terrible.
Well, it's surprising. It's surprising because liberals are usually very good at hiding what their intentions are. Yeah. They're very good at sort of speaking the words that the people want to hear and then doing the exact opposite. So it is surprising that he revealed so much about himself.
Yeah, and what he didn't reveal, you say, he didn't talk about human rights, civil rights, fidelity to their constitution, didn't consider the slave labor, concentration camps, or the crushing of the basic human rights committed by the Chinese government on a daily basis. I guess he just figures they're getting away with it, and I could get away with it. Wow.
But the scary thing is either, one, he doesn't know that all that's going on, which you should know if you're going to be the leader of a large country in the world, or two, if he does know what's going on and he agrees with it, that's even worse. That, you know, if he's willing to say, okay, it's good to have slave labor and concentration camps and taking of human rights just so we can turn the economy around, you know, as I said at the end of that paragraph, that's what a lot of people did in the 1930s to justify Hitler. They said,
right,
well, he may be doing all these horrible things, but the German economy's turned around. He's built their businesses and he's got them jobs and their wages are up. So it's okay that he's doing all the other stuff. And and basically that's what Trudeau was saying about China.
Yeah, you know, and China has many great things, and perhaps one of the ones I've heard the longest about being great was the fireworks. You know, I've actually had guests on that have said it is a fact that nobody can make fireworks better than the Chinese. I don't know Trudeau. I don't think he was thinking about that. I think he's just kind of lost his mind there, you know. He initiated the Emergencies Act, okay? This is this because of the truckers?
Yes, because of the truckers, and basically he's treating the truckers like terrorists, and by doing so, he can initiate this Emergency Act. And what they're doing right now is they're freezing all the bank accounts that you know people are donating money to support the truckers, because you're not allowed to, you know, donate money to terrorists, rightfully so. You have to label the truckers as terrorists to be able to initiate this act.
Boy, I hope Biden doesn't figure out that if you honk your horn, you're a terrorist. You know. But, of course, if you listen to Trump, apparently you're a terrorist. So, I don't know. I not in my lifetime, Judd, have I ever seen it so screwed up. Ever, as bad as it is. And it seems like they would have a better capture of the language, you know, and figure out exactly the words they should use, you know. Because honking a horn, taking away their fuel so that, you know, that the truckers with their families, you know, that sleep in the cabs, I was watching a report on that. You know, he took away the fuel, so then they'll freeze because they can't keep the heater running in the truck. This guy's just something else, and he sure does like to dress up like different characters, doesn't he?
Yeah. But it's interesting, you know, what you said, you know, they're not as careful with the language, and I think that's a reflection of the fact that, you know, the mainstream media is just going to carry their water for them. So they can say whatever they want, and no one in the mainstream media is going to call them out for it anymore. In the past, 15, 20 years ago, you know, if these liberals talked, you know, like the totalitarians they really are, the media would call them out for it. But they're not doing it anymore. So now they can reveal themselves a lot more because no one's going to hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah. And like he did just like Biden, you know, shut down the whole country over there because of COVID. Oh, yeah. So that didn't help with Canada's economy. And you say in here that Trudeau praised the truck drivers for their tireless work to keep the country running. Tell us about this. This must have been whenever they were delivering something to his house or something. I don't know.
Yeah, when he shut down the entire country, and you know, obviously people weren't leaving the house very much, and they needed everything delivered to them, and the truck drivers were doing all that and keeping the country afloat. He tweeted, you know, while many of us are working from our homes, there are others who aren't able to do that, like truck drivers who are working day and night to make sure our shelves are stocked. So when you can, please thank a trucker. I mean, he tweeted that in March of 2020, and now those same people he's treating like they're terrorists.
Wow. Almost sounds like two-faced. Well, there I go again, because he does have a lot of faces. I've seen him in three different and blackface, I don't know what he looked like, some leader of an African tribe, but guy, I don't know. He may have a couple of screws that are about ready to fall out, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's turned the heroes now into villains, truckers into terrorists. But go right up to the very beginning of what we began talking about with Judd. The ends justifies the means. Yep. Going to see how high up he goes. Go ahead.
This is what happens when the ends justify the means. You end up having to take really, untenable positions sometimes because you're so interested in the ends that the means don't matter to you anymore. So he went from treating the truckers like heroes to treating them like terrorists because the ends have shifted. And this is what it always leads you to. Where if you're a principled person who always believe in doing the right thing and going through the right process, you don't change yourself as much as he has. So this is what happens when you adopt the ends justifying the means.
Yeah, and in Judd Garrett's column, listener, he puts in here, what is more important, fighting against a virus or fighting for basic human rights? I think, Judd, if anybody holds their hand up and says, yeah, the virus, then you've kind of surrendered all of your rights.
Yeah, I mean, Trudeau locked down the country for a year and a half, 2 years, to fight the virus. And we're supposed to be on board with it. And now that the truckers are seeing that their human rights are being taken away from them, they form a protest, which is kind of shutting down the country. And Trudeau is now up in arms, like it's so outrageous to shut down the country. But he did it for a virus. They're doing it to preserve the human rights. To me, they're both equally worthy causes. So. You can't be up in arms with what the truckers are doing if you're on board with his COVID policies.
What do you think? I'm glad I got you on and we're talking about this. What's your opinion if this happens now when they start the convoy in America and Biden or whoever's pulling those puppet strings goes berserk on that? What do you think's going to happen in America? Is there going to be any big difference? You think the truckers are going to fight back harder? All of them going to be having guns mounted in the back of their windows like the good old days? See, Judd's from Texas, so he knows.
Well, I think what's going to happen is it's going to go on for a little bit, and then the left's going to do what they always do. They're going to put some false flags in there. They're going to put people in there with Confederate flags and swastikas, and they're going to label them as white nationalists and white supremacists and domestic terrorists, and then Biden's going to tell the military or whoever to go in and shut the whole thing down. So they weren't willing to do that when BLM was tearing apart our cities, where you weren't allowed to send the National Guard in or anything like that to prevent that from happening. But if it happens in America, I believe they'll be peaceful, but these peaceful protests will be shut down on the grounds of white supremacy like they always do.
Yeah, I keep seeing these humongous concrete blocks. You see them sometimes on the back of trucks, and I think they're mainly used to go under roads where they're going to have the drainage and stuff like that. But, for example, if they use Interstate 40, that goes all the way across, and I have no idea what road they're going to use, but I could see them trying with that, just, blocking it or whatever. But some of those big old trucks probably just push it right out of the way. Or get a guy like Judd Garrett. Yeah, muscles. Oh, you wouldn't believe, folks. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to be right back with Judd Garrett. Remember the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Very interesting stories there. Objectivityistheobjective.com. And stories may not be the word. Excellent writing might be a better word. Be right back.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London. How about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rutheschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett. Objectivity is the objective.com, discussing his latest benevolent dictator. And you know, you're talking about how Trudeau, you know, he really loves Black Lives Matter. And I had a long article the other day, Judd, about how they're going bankrupt. You know, and all their leaders went ahead and took the money and bought wonderful mansions and all this good stuff. So he might be hooking on to the wrong thing right there. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, Black Lives Matter, is a fraudulent organization. They're exploiting the deaths of black people for their own enrichment. It's been shown, and like you said, the leaders are taking that money, buying million-dollar homes. A lot of that money's not accounted for. And again, they're exploiting the racial issues in this country for their own enrichment, but that's been going on for years with a lot of different people. Al Sharpton is a perfect example of that.
Oh, wow, yeah. So many. I think he was the one that used to blackmail these companies, you know.
Yeah.
Remember, like Coca-Cola and Ford and everything else, and we're going to protest in front of your company if you don't contribute to whatever he had going on now. I can't remember the name of his organization. It seemed like I would never forget it. But I guess God has come in there and said, Chuck, I'm going to get rid of that one for you. You no longer have to suffer with trying to remember that one. Yes. Anyway. And speaking of God, you say there are no benevolent dictators, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no human benevolent dictators. I believe God's a benevolent dictator, but, you know, with God, he doesn't take away our free will. That's the point. I mean, people always ask, you know, why doesn't God just end all the suffering in the world? And he doesn't do that because he wants to give everybody their free will, because that maintains your humanity. And these dictators like Trudeau or President Xi in China, they're going to strip everybody of their rights, of their free will, which strips them of their humanity, and to get a result that they want. And God doesn't do that. God gives us our free will. He allows us to direct our lives in the way that we want to take it. And if that means that there's going to be some evil in the world, that's the result. But again, you know, the ends don't justify the means. The means justify the ends.
It's almost like dictators are like a carnival ride or something, you know. It's such a thrill to be on it there, but eventually it comes to an end, you know, every single one of them. And, boy, they can sure raise a lot of hell, so to speak, whenever they're practicing their dictatorship. It's a little bit of power, I guess, you know. And I think about this all the time, Judge, you know, the Congress critters. Boy, you just see what happens when you've got a little bit of authority, you know, and how it goes to your head. And it's terrible that it's that way, and a lot of people have to suffer because of it.
Very few people can be trusted with power, because they tend to abuse it and they tend to exploit it. And like you said, you see it with dictators, you see it with what's going on in our Congress, is that the power gets to them and they use it for the wrong purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've run out of time again. Another excellento article from you, Benevolent Dictator, and you'll find it, listener, at objectivityistheobjective.com. Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, and get a copy of his book, No Wind, available at Amazon. Thank you very much, Judd, and look forward to our next visit, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, coming up next, Mr. Selwyn Duke. Duke, Duke. Yes, record got stuck.
Are you tired?
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I have Swade at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let's see when next we meet. Michael Lett, CEO and founder of InvestUSA, going to talk about January 6th police beating of an unconscious Trump supporter. They deemed it reasonable. All right, Frank Savato, co-host of Underground USA, with his latest, A Perfect Opportunity to Advance Radical Tax Reform. And then the one and only Leo Homan, independent freelance journalist, and he'll be discussing The Great Reset. Right now, I want to introduce you to Selwyn Duke. He's a writer for The New American, also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on many television and radio programs because he's so good. And now it's time for the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, 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 Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Wow. That was Swade doing the lyrics on that. Sounds just like the original, doesn't it? Okay. Hey, Selwyn, how you doing?
Not bad, Chuck. And you were doing the dancing, right?
I was doing the dancing. I was in my chair, and I was dancing, and the chair started going backwards. And I said, what is going on? All right. Yeah, it's Friday again, well, and here you are. Hey, listen, going to give you a little heads up here. Anyone who had canceled George Washington is an enemy within is your latest, and I checked that out. And then, you know the YouTube thing you gave me? on the very end there. Yeah, where it was going to be Thomas Sowell about it. Well, yeah, I watched that, but guess what? It was nothing but, what's his name? Tucker Carlson.
Really?
Yeah. So you might want to check those little squiggles. You know, you got the QOO, quip, big Q.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
I have the wrong video in there? I don't know how that happened.
On the copy I got, yeah. So I'll give you, so if your editor is saying, Selwyn, you got to put the bottle down. Yes. Anyway.
Are you saying that Tucker Carlson is insinuating his way into my work even when I don't want him there?
I think you always want him there, you know?
Well, not in this case. I wanted Thomas Sowell.
Yeah, I know. And
because he says things what he said so about well.
George Washington. We might find out anyway at the end of this one, okay? Why don't we take it from the top so the listener will be right there with us? What do you think?
Okay, sounds good to me. Yeah, what inspired me to write this, Chuck, was that... Yeah. Recently, we heard that story about the San Francisco school board members who were ousted in that recall election, and it made big news because San Francisco, as you know, just might be the most liberal city in this nation. Nonetheless, the people there ousted these woke school board members by a wide margin. And then I was thinking about the fact that these are the people, I understand, who voted to rename certain schools last year, including a school named after George Washington. Yeah. And we've seen this phenomenon for a long time now, Chuck, where the founding fathers, inclusive of George Washington, are impugned terribly. Their reputations are besmirched, and we try to remove their names from things. And this is really unbelievable because what I am saying with complete sincerity is that anyone who would want to cancel George Washington cannot consider himself American in any kind of true way. In fact, that person is branding himself as an enemy within. And the reason for that is that George Washington is not like any other American figure. And here, I'll give you a good example of why I say that. Now, his arch rival was King George III, the King of England at the time. And we understand why, because we rebelled against England. But listen to this. When King George was having his portrait done by an American-born painter, he asked that painter, well, what does George Washington plan to do now that the Revolutionary War is won? And that painter said, well, he's just going to return to his farm. And you know what the king said? He said, quote, if he does that, he will be the greatest man in the world. Okay? Because let's face it. There aren't too many people who willingly relinquish power. I mean, kings like having power very often, and we see our politicians today, they tend to be power mongers. They'll lie, cheat, and steal to build up their power. But not only did Washington do that, relinquish that power, he did it twice. Now, let's be clear here, Chuck. That story about how he was offered the kingship of America, that is exaggerated. Someone did mention that to him, and that sentiment was around, but I wouldn't really say it was a prevailing sentiment. But nonetheless, Washington did reject that unreservedly. He was very clear about that, that we shouldn't have kings. But here's the thing. After the war, he resigned his military commission. That's when he first gave up power. And then when he was president later on, after two terms, he refused entreaties to run for a third term. Again, he relinquished power. And that really bespeaks of the character of this man. And then we also have other situations where, for instance, during the Newburgh affair, that was here in New York, by the way, in 1783, where the army was close to rebelling because they hadn't been paid by Congress. And the reason for that was that Congress at the time had no power to levy taxes. It had to ask the states for funds, and the states were loath to pay up very often. But anyway, the army was poised to rebel, and Washington tamped that down. He gave a very moving speech wherein he explained what this endeavor, this American experiment, was all about. And that's why this fellow who was his aide-de-camp at one time, Major General David Cobb, said about him that he believed, quote, these United States are indebted for their Republican form of government solely to the firm and determined republicanism of George Washington, unquote. So I'll go on. you know, this greatest man in the world, as King George called him, he really was a giant, both literally and figuratively. I mean, first of all, as you probably know, Chuck, he stood about 6 feet tall, which was very large in those days. But that paled in comparison to his moral stature. And I wrote about this years ago. Washington's Rules for the Radically Right, the essay was titled something to that effect. But he had these rules, Chuck, rules of civility and decent behavior in company and conversation, 110 of them. And he copied them down into his personal notes when he was still younger than 16 years old. And he was holding himself to a very, very high standard. He really was trying to cultivate virtue in himself. And virtue, as I've defined in the past, is, quote, that set of objectively good moral habits. And this is something I emphasize because it's sorely lacking today. You know, we live in this age now of moral laxity where our credo is, if it feels good, do it. And we've lost sight of something, Chuck, that the founding fathers stressed repeatedly. George Washington stressed this among them, which is that virtue in the people is a prerequisite for enjoying liberty. Okay? Now, in the piece, Chuck, as you know, and interrupt me if I'm going on too long, you know, I always say that.
Go ahead. I know.
But I talk about how I'm not going to address the politically correct charges that are always leveled against George Washington because the piece I wanted to keep short. But I think I'm going to do that here later on. But first, let me tell you why I'm sometimes loath to address them. As I wrote in my piece, this modern compulsion we have to issue disclaimers about how our country or this or that historical figure, quote, wasn't perfect, quite frankly, is really, really tiresome. And the example I use is this, Chuck. If you were going to make a tribute to your mother, would you feel compelled to emphasize before it how she wasn't perfect and then follow that with an enumeration of her supposed sins? It would be ridiculous. It would be stupid because, one, we understand that perfection is not a thing of this world anyway. It's a thing of heaven. And it's not a prerequisite for admiration or for hero status. It's just as with your mother. I mean, of course she's not perfect. So when you take pains to point that out, what are you implying? You're implying something very, very bad. You're implying that she doesn't just have the normal imperfections that we would expect to see in a human being, that she must be unusually flawed, or you wouldn't mention it. And that's the same message that we send when we take these pains to say, well, we know our country is not perfect, or we know George Washington wasn't perfect, and there are people who even do this overseas. It's absolutely unbelievable. Kamala Harris did that recently. She issued that tweet, I'm sure you saw this in the news, having to do with Iran, talking about all the problems in America. I mean, it's unbelievable how anti-American in spirit these people are. The perfect should not be the enemy of the good. How could you possibly portray America as flawed when it's within the context of characterizing China or Iran or many of these other countries that often are very, very despotic places? It's absolutely disgusting.
Like you moreover, bring up the Aztecs, you know, the Aztecs in this article. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, know. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get to that. Not only that, Chuck, moreover, when
I knew I'd heard it somewhere because I read it earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. When people issue that disclaimer, you know, oh, well, we know my country is not perfect, often it's very self-serving, and I'll tell you why. There's often a subtle message there to the effect of that the individual wants to signal that he's a good person. He's far too good to praise his country or its historical figures without pointing out how it or they paled in comparison to our enlightened beneficence. You know, people just want to point that out, polishing up their left-wing credentials. But then, let's think about the people who lead this demonization, Chuck, of the country, of the founding fathers. What is their moral stature? Who are they to cast stones such as these? I mean, let's think about it. These leftists claim that everything is relative, right? And they don't spew the kind of venom they spew at the founding fathers, at the ancient Aztecs, or I should say the Aztecs. They really weren't living in ancient times when we talk about the times that we reference. But the Aztecs, who engaged in wide-scale human sacrifice, these leftists don't spew venom upon them. And they don't spew venom at the 19th century tribes in Papua New Guinea that embraced cannibalism. No, no. Then they talk about cultural relativism. Well, you can cast judgment. But when it comes to the founders, their tune changes markedly. Then all of a sudden, these moral relativists will become quite absolutist, Chuck. They will condemn these people completely and totally, even though they existed within an entirely different cultural context. Entirely different, okay? And what does this double standard reflect? Well, it reflects bigotry, maybe anti-white bigotry, maybe anti-Western bigotry, maybe both. But that's what we should be very clear on. Don't let these people take the moral high ground. Not only point out their double standard, but shove it down their throats. Say, how dare you? How dare you impugn our nation and our heroes because it's only driven by bigotry. It reveals the darkness in your hearts, not in our founders' hearts.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. I know we're coming up on a break. That's why I stopped. Did I do that prematurely?
Well, you got about 30 seconds, 35, something like that.
You could
get to the part about who are the leftists.
Yeah. I mean, who are these people who are casting these stones? I mean, these are depraved individuals. As I said in my article, they're child-corrupting, angry, uncharitable, lying, often violent, baby-killing, civilization-destroying, illiberal miscreants. They have no business looking down their noses morally on anybody, Chuck. So as I said in my article to them, listen, learn what boys and girls are before preaching to others about rectitude, okay? That's my advice.
All right, and we'll give you the final words on this, because anytime you mention George Orwell, it's got to be something interesting, so we're going to hold off on that. Yes, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, his website, selwynduke.com, and this one entitled, "Anyone Who Would Cancel George Washington is an Enemy Within." Easy to spot. We'll be right back.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
Keep listening for a free offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of sticking your fingers over and over again. By simply wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM,
You can reduce the pain of sticking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar daily and administering insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. We'll send you a free ebook telling you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. Your new CGM may be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call now to learn more.
800-524-9313. 800-524-9313. That's 800-524-9313.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American website, selwynduke.com, and we've been discussing anyone who had canceled George Washington is an enemy within. And one last paragraph here whenever Selwyn gets his pen going there, and he talks about George Orwell. And I'm serious, you know, anytime you start quoting a George Orwell, you want to hear all about it, Selwyn. So let's just end up with this one, okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to quote Orwell, even though he's tried stealing my work, Chuck. I'll have you know that. And what I mean is there's this
That's why I tell you, lock the back door. He comes in when you're gone.
Yeah. There's this quotation of mine that was attributed to George Orwell on the internet, and because of that, it really got around far and wide. And I even had fact checkers from Brazil, I think it was, from Mexico, contacting me about the matter.
Really?
But anyway, in all seriousness, that's what I mean. You can never trust a socialist, even when he's in the grave. He was a socialist at one time, but he reformed himself. He did reform himself. He realized the folly of socialism.
Why don't you do a column called Things That Were Stolen From Me?
Including my mind?
Yeah.
So, anyway, in all seriousness, though, we were talking about the impugning of our nation and the founding fathers and how damaging it is. And Orwell warned something. He said, quote, "The most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their history." And, you know, the truth is, he's right. He was right. And this obliteration is largely complete in the United States, Chuck, I'm sorry to say. I mean, you just look at all of these Americans who not only will impugn the founding fathers, but look at all the others who are guilty of mistakes of omission because they don't feel compelled to defend our history and our heroes and our nation. We shouldn't tolerate this for a second. You know, I said this yesterday somewhere. I said, look, we have to start behaving as the left does in terms of moral indignation, okay? They're all wrong, but they behave as if they're absolutely right, and they'll look down on others morally. We're often right, we're usually right, and we should try to always be right, but we often act as if we're all wrong. We're sheepish. We allow ourselves to be cowed. You can't do that. We have to use an emotional appeal as well as using logical arguments. And we have to say, no, don't you dare do this. And if you do it, it makes you a bad person. You don't destroy our culture. No. And now that we're onto this, let me just say something. I said earlier that I actually was going to address the charges against George Washington, and I will, because it's very important. You know, we hear how he and many of the other founders, they were slave owners, and that alone is supposed to discredit them. But there's something that has to be understood here. Remember that the United States did not originate slavery. It was born into a world in which slavery was the status quo. That's the way it was. It's one of the oldest institutions. It has been practiced since time immemorial, and it's still present in the world today, notably in Africa. And by the way, the left-wingers don't have anything to say about that. Okay, but the point is this. Here's the striking fact of history, Chuck, and I've said this on your show before. If you want to define it racially, then you could say, we don't know who originated slavery, but we do know this. The first ones to end it were white people, okay? And if you want to frame it in a different way in terms of civilizations, well, maybe Western civilization wasn't the first one to practice slavery, but it was the first civilization to eliminate it. Striking, absolutely striking.
Yeah.
And we should tout that. We should be proud of it. And, you know, in the Thomas Sowell video that I meant to include at the end of my article, he makes that point in different words, and he makes another point. He gave this example of an exercise that young school children might get nowadays when they are told, well, put yourself in the place of an American Indian in the 19th century and describe how you would feel if your land was being stolen by European invaders. Well, Sowell pointed out that it's a ridiculous little exercise because that child has no way of putting himself in the mindset of a 19th century American Indian because the schools never did teach nearly enough history for people to even begin to understand what that mindset was. Back then, taking land by force, if you could manage to do it, was status quo. No one questioned it. And as Sowell put it, yes, the American Indians certainly didn't like losing the battles that they did to the Europeans that might have cost them land, but they never questioned that fighting battles to try to take land was a legitimate way to do things. That was simply accepted back then. And the Indians, of course, did it to other Indians. So this whole thing about, oh, well, we practiced slavery or we stole land, it's a non-starter. We have a civilization here, now, today. And the question is it good and do we want to preserve it? If the answers to those questions are yes, then we've got to preserve them.
10-4, A1 Diddy Bag, Selwyn Duke. He's going to come back with how the green lie is killing black people.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Kenneth Branagh is back as Agatha Christie's master detective Hercule Poirot, trying to figure out what happened to wealthy heiress Gal Gadot during a glamorous group vacation to Egypt in Death on the Nile, now playing in theaters.
The crime is murder. The murderer is one of you.
I don't feel safe here.
I will deliver your killer.
But as in any other Agatha Christie novel, there are so many potential killers in this large, distinguished cast that it takes a while to narrow down all of these elegant and eccentric people into the most plausible suspect. As in his previous Hercule Poirot film, Murder on the Orient Express, Branagh's director and star recreates a visually stunning view of 1930s glamour and indulgence, though the twisty plot is preposterous, of course, and takes intense concentration to follow. Rated PG. PG-13 for some disturbing violence. 3 stars for Death on the Nile.
These are the sounds of Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club.
Mm, look at this ribeye. You see that ribeye?
Fantastic. Ah, incredible.
This is delicious.
Sausage and lentil soup. Special today. Very, very good.
Look at this garlic bread. Best garlic bread I ever had.
And here's Vic Perino, owner and operator of Columbo's.
A lot of the Italian recipes are my uncle's own recipes. We have a lot of people coming back for his hand-rolled lasagna. We make it basically from scratch. I think ours is exceptional.
Here's Vic on what makes Columbo's different than any other Italian restaurant.
The other thing that sets us apart from other Italian restaurants is that we're an Italian steakhouse. We specialize in our steaks.
Plus, there's more.
We have entertainment 7 nights a week. So they're coming for a lot of reasons to value. Their value per dollar that they're getting, plus coming into a neighborhood-friendly place. That, you know, sometimes we're actually accused of being the melting pot of Eagle Rock.
Columbo's in Eagle Rock on Colorado Boulevard. 323-254-9138. Manja.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground. Ka'anapali Beach Resort on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, and I am dating this program. As a reminder, just got through talking about George Washington, and it dawned on me, a little tiny bell went off there, Selwyn. Monday is President's Day, and Tuesday is the guy's birthday, George Washington. Now, I didn't get an invite. Maybe you got an invite, but I didn't get one. But anyway, so I'm not buying a gift.
Oh, okay. Did you know Washington personally?
Yeah, I did know Washington, believe it or not, but he was in the United States Navy.
Okay. I think what you're implying, Chuck, is that it's not exactly an uncommon name.
Well, not anymore. Yeah, I guess some people would be proud to be named Washington. And I'll tell you an ironic fact, too, is the gentleman that his name was Washington was a black man. So how about that? Yeah. So,
Booker T. Yeah.
Yeah. Booker T. Washington. He was a musician.
Yeah.
And then there was Monday, used to be Wash Day. Anyway, yes. We probably already have been canceled out with Facebook and Twitter, and boy, they're checking our facting right now. It's like going
That's
crazy,
right.
Huh?
I was thinking about that when misinformation.
You were... I was thinking about that when you were talking about George Orwell and all that, and I was thinking, yeah, here we go. We're probably getting censored on Facebook for sure. That's here we go, yeah. So another interesting story, Greentopian, how the green lie is killing black people. Now, that is a colored title right there, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly
right.
is. You've got a whole palette there.
One. Okay.
Yeah. But, no, it's interesting because every living thing, as I point out in my article, Chuck, needs energy to function. That's the way the world works. The world runs on energy. Without energy, there's no movement. There's no life. And, of course, it follows that also without energy, Chuck, there's no economic activity. And that's why the West's war on energy that we're witnessing at this very moment is so tragic. And it's especially tragic for the poorest people in our world. Okay, now, by the West's war on energy, of course, I'm talking about this greentopian, as I've termed it, nonsense, where we're demonizing fossil fuels and we're moving away from their use. And instead, we're trying to embrace green energy that really, in every case right now, just is not economically feasible, is not practical. And anyway, in my article, I cite the work here of these two experts, Joel Kotkin, who is director of the Urban Reform Institute, and this South African engineer named Hugo Kruger. Well, they were writing it unheard, and they pointed out that unlike the energy crisis we had in the 1970s, this one is a self-inflicted wound. In the 1970s, of course, we had oil shortages and gas lines. Some of us remember that. Unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember that. But anyway, now it's a self-inflicted wound because of this aforementioned government imposition of a greentopian agenda. And the authors point out, those two men, Kotkin and Kruger, that the pseudo-elites, they love the energy reset, as they call it, but it destroys the poor and the working class. And we could point out things such as the rolling brownouts in your state during the summer. I'm sure you know about them well.
Yeah.
Then there's also the fact that 10% of homes in Spain have insufficient winter heat. Think about that. And that's a first world country. Italians' electric bills have increased 55%. That increase was seen by January of this month. And get this, The number of British homes, Chuck, unable to meet their energy costs is predicted to triple by April. So this is a very, very serious thing, even for first world people. But then you talk about the third world people. That's where it's particularly devastating. And here I'll quote Kotkin and Kruger. They write, quote, already in 2015, for example, the president of the African Developmental Bank stated that, quote, Africa cannot function because we have no power, and affirmed the continent's need for, quote, renewable and conventional energy, including natural gas and coal. Similarly, in the lead-up to the UN climate change conference last year, Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari warned that the climate policies favored by Western governments, investors, and aid agencies could lead to an Africa-wide energy crisis. Just last month, the president of Senegal made it clear ahead of the EU-African Union summit that Africans are not prepared to pay for Europe's carbon levy. South Africa's energy minister, meanwhile, criticized NGOs, that's non-governmental organizations, and universities that promote climate-driven solutions with money from European think tanks. And African leaders have every reason to be concerned about the dangers of expensive energy. Fuel riots have occurred in the recent past in Senegal, Malawi, South Africa, and Nigeria, while energy costs were a catalyst for the Arab Spring, when a spike in oil prices drove up the price of grain. Earlier this year in Kazakhstan, soaring energy prices nearly sparked a revolution. So, given that more than half of all Africans live in energy poverty, perhaps their politicians have every right to be worried, unquote. Now, Chuck, the Greentopians, as I call them, though, they do have a strategy for combating this resistance. I call it bribery and the stick. Okay, for one thing, they can threaten to withhold Western aid unless these African countries and other third world countries embrace their Greentopian woke policies. But they also do this. They plan on handing over our taxpayer money, Chuck, to these third world governments, okay, as long as the third world governments toe the line, impose the policies that these pseudo-elites want to see imposed, and deny their subjects access to resources, okay? And listen. You know as well as I do, Chuck, that third world officials often are very, very willing to do this. They'll keep their people poor if they can get a payoff. Okay? Now, the two men, the two authors here, Kruger and Kotkin, Chuck, they also point out that the climate change lie has animated what they call this degrowth movement, where actually instead of encouraging economic growth, they want to have a contraction in economic activity. Okay? Now, how serious are they about this? Well, consider this, and I reported on this last year. The World Economic Forum actually posted this really bizarre tweet in 2021. It has this embedded video, or had it, the tweet was deleted. And it proclaimed, the World Economic Forum did, Chuck, quote, lockdowns are quietly improving cities around the world. Now, people on the internet saved this video, even though the World Economic Forum, like I said, deleted it. They deleted it because they knew they had tipped their hand. They knew that it made them look bad. But if you watch this video, and you really should, the tone is absolutely striking because the World Economic Forum in it is absolutely quelling. It's just ebullient over these lockdowns. You can tell. I mean, this was in the midst of the COVID pandemic where people were suffering. We had these idiotic government-imposed lockdowns. And this organization was talking as if somehow they were a gift from God. Oh, well, you know, the noise is down, ambient noise, and there's less this pollution and that pollution, less light. I mean, these people, I guess, would be really happy if we had a Last Man on Earth situation or an Omega Man situation, Chuck, referring to those old movies, where a virus killed off virtually everyone on Earth. But anyway, for people who are interested in the psychology behind this, why would the World Economic Forum let that slip? Well, this mask drop has a good explanation. You see, it's a common human phenomenon. What happens with people who have embraced and become inured to really bizarre ideas or perverted ideas is that they are inured to them. These things become commonplace to them. And then sometimes what they do is they let their guard down, Chuck, and they reveal shades of their sickness to others, other people who might not be as desensitized as they are. And it's a good example. Here's a good example. It's like when a deviant shocks others with some comment that reveals his perversion because, well, to him, it's just come to seem like normality. And believe me, I've seen that happen with Kinsey Institute people. But anyway, getting back to the article. You know what the kicker is, though, about all this Greentopian nonsense? We're talking, Chuck, about how people need energy in order to survive, to be prosperous, to be happy. But it won't even help the environment. You can bank on that. And the reason why is this, okay? If we're going to have a functioning society with large populations, 335 million in the United States, more than 7 billion worldwide, okay, we can only do that if we have what modernity has given us, namely high-intensity energy sources, fossil fuels, because they enable us to mass-produce food, to operate water delivery systems, to heat homes, to run factories, and to do everything else that allows us to live in modernity and that supports large populations in, and this is the critical phrase, a sustainable way, okay? And by the way, the proof is in the pudding, Chuck. I've said this before on your show. This is why, despite our high standard of living and great energy usage here in the United States, guess what? We have more forested land than a century ago, fact. And our air and water are cleaner than they were in the 1960s, fact, okay? And this is also why a former Greenpeace figure, Patrick Moore is his name, he warned himself, Chuck, in 2019, get this, that if the Green New Deal were instituted globally, you know what would happen? It could, quote, he said, result in the death of nearly all humans on Earth, unquote. But wow. Before they died their miserable deaths, you know what would happen? He said they'd cut down every tree for fuel and kill every animal for food. And that's the truth. When you see poor nations that have limited freedom, they tend to have very poor environments for this very reason. And that's because there are two prerequisites for environmental health, Chuck, prosperity and freedom in the sense of being able to choose your leaders. Now, why? Freedom is necessary because when leaders cannot be held accountable, they're going to ravage the environment whenever it's convenient for them. Let me give you a good example. There was this Lake Karachi in the Soviet Union, okay? Well, the Soviet government, because it didn't have to answer to the people, for decades was feeding nuclear waste into this lake. It was fed into the waste by streams and creeks and rivers. Well, anyway, the lake became so radioactive, they say, and this might be a slight exaggeration, but it's probably not a great one, that if you stood on its banks for an hour, you could receive a lethal dose of radiation. And, of course, cancer rates in the surrounding areas were much higher than normal. But, hey, the population couldn't do anything about it. Who were you going to sue? Who were you going to vote out of office? You couldn't even complain because you could be hauled away to a gulag. That was it. Now, what did they do? Well, eventually, they had to pave this Lake Karachi over. It's under concrete now. That was the only solution. But that's a good example. That's what happens when you don't have freedom. Now, why is prosperity a prerequisite for environmental health? Very, very simple. A Chinese proverb tells us about this, Chuck. It goes like this. When there's food on the table, there are many problems. When there's no food on the table, there's only one problem. If people are suffering privation, they're not worried, Chuck, about killing off the last rhino or clear-cutting the rainforest. They just want to survive. They just want to feed their kids. They just want to live to see the next day and put shoes on their feet. Like it or not, what we call environmentalism is a passion and a pastime of comfortable people who can afford to care, okay? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be good shepherds of the environment. We should be. I love the environment. I spent 3 weeks years ago camping in the North Maine woods. I think it's beautiful. I've always been a conservationist. But we have to be realistic about it. If we go down this left-wing greentopian road, we will end up destroying the environment. Mark my words, it's the worst thing you could do. Now, I'll conclude by pointing out something that the two men I cited before, Kotkin and Kruger, mentioned in their piece. You know who's behind this war on energy in the third world, among other entities? Well, it's a certain company that I mentioned in a previous article, BlackRock, which, by the way, is also an unseen dark hand which uses our money to force American companies, our companies, to go woke. Well, it's behind the attack on fossil fuels. Surprise, surprise. Okay? And I'll say one more thing. This is what I concluded my article with. Here is the kicker, okay? All these greentopians, Chuck, they want to foist this vision on the rest of us, you know, the unwashed masses. But guess what? They're not going to sacrifice for it themselves. You can bet your bottom dollar on that, because they never do. They're still going to have their $150 a pound Kobe beef. They're still going to have their private jets, their luxurious yachts, their palatial abodes, because they'll give you the shirt off someone else's back. To them, Chuck, privation is for the little people. And unfortunately, that starts with their human guinea pigs in Africa.
You know, and it's interesting, they have a program, it's called Earth, I think, Planet Earth, and it's about all the satellites and taking and I watched a whole episode on that lake you're talking about, you know. And full of, and people would go down there and camp out, and they kept running them off and running them off, and people were dying, and I'll tell you. But the big question is, you spent 3 weeks in the woods, you say?
Yeah.
You were lost, right? Selwyn, Duke, 3 weeks? Maybe 2 days, Selwyn.
Yeah.
I can see you doing 2 days, but 3 weeks, yeah.
Well, it wasn't in a row. It was broken up.
Yeah. You know, sometimes during it's almost summer months get on you, I have a window and a glare comes in, and I was thinking, oops, it's time for the break, but I don't hear the music. But guess what? The break is actually coming up in 30 seconds, see? So that's great. So that gives me an opportunity. We have the teacher fired, Putin's Poseidon. Yes, I would like for you, in the remaining short time, if you have it there, talk about this nuclear submarine. Would that be okay, or would you rather do the teacher fired? It's up to you.
No, we can talk about the nuclear submarine, because after all, Chuck, I know you want the show to be a blast, just hopefully not a nuclear blast.
Yeah. The teacher was fired, and you can check it out at SelwynDuke.com. Preschool was shut down over Black History Month, and it was shut down because of blackface, a lot of blackfaces. All right, we're going to be right back with Selwyn Duke, thenewamerican.com, and also his website, SelwynDuke.com.
Hi, this is Fred Dwyer talking about my favorite Italian restaurant, Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in downtown Fullerton. A fantastic place to eat. Come inside and dine in our Italian town square, complete with a 10-foot Christmas tree. That's right, 10 feet. Enjoy our food made from secret family recipes. Pasta, chicken, seafood, salads, and our delicious pizza. Incredible desserts, including my favorite, the tiramisu, flown directly in from Italy. Feel the spirit at Angelo and Vinci's, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call 714-879-4022 or visit angelosandvincis.com. That's angelosandvincis.com.
Keep listening for a free offer from US Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of sticking your fingers over and over again. By simply wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, You can reduce the pain of sticking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar daily and administering insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. We'll send you a free ebook telling you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. Your new CGM may be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call now to learn more. 800-524-9313. 800-524-9313. That's 800-524-9313.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN with Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com. So this will give you something to keep you awake all night, all week, all month, maybe all year, entitled Putin's Poseidon, Russia's Doomsday Weapon, and Trump Card. And, boy, this is some serious, serious stuff here, Selwyn, and I believe every bit of it.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, I don't know if it's true what I heard, that after reading this article, you cashed out of your long-term investments. But anyway, you know the rumor mill.
I did, yes. And I bought a steel helmet.
Yeah, a lead helmet, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But anyway, you know, joking aside, I've always found it funny, Chuck, about how many decades ago we were very concerned about nuclear attack. We had those duck and cover drills in the 1950s. Right. Not that I remember them personally. At that time, I wasn't even a twinkle in my father's eye. But in 1983, we had that movie about the aftermath of a nuclear attack the day after, scared people to death. But the reality is that the doomsday clock is still as close to midnight, 100 seconds, as it's ever been. And basically, that's some scientist's assessment of how close we are to nuclear doom. Well, one reason for that might be this Poseidon weapon. Now, let me just say, we don't really know exactly what its level of lethality is or its level of completion. Some people say that. But nonetheless, some people also say that this is a nuclear torpedo that conceivably could destroy not just a city, not just a city and its surrounding areas, but maybe a whole continent. Now, what's unique about this nuclear torpedo? Well, of course, it's very, very large. It's not only nuclear-armed, but also nuclear-powered. It's estimated to be about 7 feet in diameter, about 100 tons, and I think 100 feet long, if I'm not mistaken. But it has a nuclear payload, of course. But here's the difference between this nuclear torpedo and what we might call traditional nuclear weapons. Traditional nuclear weapons work by way of heat and pressure, and any nuclear fallout that results is really just a secondary effect. But this is very, very different. In this case, what happens is that, this is according to Stephen Schwartz, who is an expert on the subject, he says, these types of nuclear explosions, quote, suck up dirt or water, contaminates it with debris from the bomb, and then lofts it into the atmosphere, leaving deadly radioactive fallout potentially strewn across thousands of miles. What's more, the bomb is rumored to have its nuclear core coated in a metal that would make the fallout last for a half a century. I'm quoting here Business Insider. And then he said, it's an insane weapon in the sense that it's probably as indiscriminate and lethal as you can make a nuclear weapon. Actually, Hans Christensen said that. He is another expert. So we have to hope that maybe this is not a reality. And if it is, of course, it's just another reason why in this modern day and age we have to avoid all-out war, because the truth is that that would mean the end of all of us.
Well, and I'll tell you, listener, Selwyn also has, you know, if you're interested, or if he says your entertainment taste tend toward the morbid, you can check out the out what is called the nuke map. I went to it. I think it was Georgia, right, where they show you where they explode a city in Georgia, and then it goes all the way up, fortunately, towards Washington, D.C., but that's a long trip. Anyway, boy, oh, boy. I just remember, I always tell you, if you think it's going to strike, okay, here's what you do. You take your right hand, put it on your left shoulder, your left hand, put it on your right shoulder, put your head between your knees, and you kiss your rear end goodbye. All right. Hey, Selwyn, look forward to our next visit, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, too. God bless, Chuck.
God bless you. Hey, thank you very much, Slade. Thank you for listening, and have a very good weekend. And remember, absolutely no nuclear missiles were destroyed during the production of this here program.